Turn to Luke chapter 1. I thought, you know, Wednesday night's usually prayer meeting night, we'd talk about prayer, and as I was pacing and praying, I was glad to see your lady pacing and praying, because that's what I do. I'm not very good at standing still. And that's all right. If you can pray standing still, I can't do it. And so I was praying about prayer, thinking we'd talk about prayer, when the Lord brought back to mind this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 1. You know, Christmas is coming. You know, I'm already in a Christmas mode. Let's do it. Want to? Skip over Thanksgiving, go right to Christmas. What do you think? Oh, I'm ready. I am so ready. Well, in Luke chapter 1, we have the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were without child. It says they were well stricken in years. That simply is King James, or they were very, very old. Long past childbearing age, and Zacharias was in the temple offering incense. It was his turn to offer the incense when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the angel of the Lord said, your prayer has been heard. Now you can imagine that old man didn't pray that prayer yesterday. He had probably given up on that prayer. But you know, God is of sound mind. He has a sharp memory. And if you don't turn loose, you don't quit, God will bring your desire to pass. Well, Zacharias was full of doubt. He didn't believe a word he heard. And because he didn't believe a word he heard, he was not allowed to speak again. That's so he didn't mess up the will and plan and program of God. You know, God doesn't like people messing things up. See, I'm not a mess up. I've been fixed up by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thing to be fixed up? Fixed up, fixed up, fixed up, fixed up. Oh, thank God. Well, Zacharias went home to Elizabeth. She conceived a child. Now, he can't speak, but you know he has words to say. It wasn't too very long before he realized he was wrong and that angel was right, and that angel did indeed come from God. Hey, can you imagine having something you want to say and being silenced for at least 9 months till that child was born? He realizes he's made a big mistake. God is right. You know, the scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. Right. You can't contradict the word of God and get anywhere with God. You got to stay on God's side. Amen. Now, the day is going to come when John the Baptist is born. They're going to name him Zacharias after his father. That's the tradition of that country. But his mother said, no, his name's going to be John. So they give the father a tablet and say, what would you name him? And he writes down John. It says, they marveled. They were all amazed. They passed the word that Elizabeth and Zacharias were in agreement. I don't know what that means exactly, but they were amazed that they were in agreement. We won't even go there tonight because we're not talking about marriage. I like to do that, but we're not going to do that tonight. They were amazed that Zacharias and Elizabeth were in agreement on the baby's name. Now here's this wonderful thing that's going to happen. Zacharias' mouth is going to be turned loose. All these months he's waited on God. He's waited to speak. He's waited to rejoice. He realized his prayer has been heard after all of these years, maybe even decades of years. You know, as a young man, when it became obvious that they were not going to have children, you know he prayed. I mean, you know he did. And then as time passed, he kind of let that prayer slide. Have you ever done that? You know, go back. If it was God's dream, God's wish, God's will, God's plan, go back and pick up that prayer. Go back and stand again in that spot. Because God answers prayer. And everyone that asks, receives. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and door shall be opened unto you. That's what Scripture says. It's the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know that we have the petitions. Isn't that what it says? Oh, thank God, that is what it says. Well, I just want to bring you to the words of Zacharias. I just want to build my case. All these months now, he's got words to say. Now, the minute he writes down John and they decide to name the baby John, his mouth is opened, his tongue is loosed, and he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel! Now, you know he didn't whisper it. Amen. He's been sitting on that word for months. It's all right if you whisper. Sometimes I whisper. I just let you know I can whisper, but I don't whisper very often. And it's all right to whisper. In fact, the same scripture says, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. It says, be still, know that I'm God. So both are appropriate, both to whisper and to be loud. It's all right to be noisy. It's all right to be very quiet in the presence of God. In fact, sometimes if you're very noisy, you'll miss what God is saying. So you have to take time to listen. Well, you know, in the early days of town criers, they didn't have a newspaper. They didn't have a printing press. They had a town crier. The town crier would get the news, and he'd go to the street corner, and he'd holler out that news. And then he'd run over to this street corner and holler out the news. And if you wanted to know what was happening in the city, then you had to follow the town crier around. Now, this is what happened in that day. Zacharias, the town crier, he has good news. He has good news. He has a child. He has a son. And that son, it says, is going to prepare the way for the Lord. The Messiah they had all looked for, he's going to come. Amen. And I expect he went there and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." I just like to say it, don't you? God is good to us. You believe that? I know you do. I heard you singing. You weren't just pretending, were you? God is good to us. He's very good to us. Everybody can see God is more. Now, Zacharias knows this is a great big God. This is a more God. This is a succeeding abundantly above God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. Amen. Nothing is impossible when we stand upon His word, casting every care on God alone.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yes. So God's a performer of His word.
Yes, He is.
Oh, thank God. You don't have to worry about God showing up.
Hallelujah.
He's the master of show up.
Yes.
He shows up. He shows up. Well, it's in chapter 1, verse 68. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people." He hath visited and redeemed His people. I want to talk to you about the great plan of redemption. It's a word we don't use anymore. It's amazing. Words that are very important to the scripture are stolen from us. We don't say grace much. You know, the other day I said something, my daughter runs our office, and I said something about being peachy, and she said, "Peachy? What is that?" I said, "Well, awesome, a keen, a bad, or what is it? I don't know." You know, don't keep up with the modern vocabulary. Words change every few years. And peachy, I guess, has been, is that long gone?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well. The only thing I knew about grace was my mother had a friend named Grace. I didn't know much about grace. Nobody uses that word. Nobody redeems anything. Has anybody redeemed anything this week? It's no wonder we don't understand God. We don't understand the scriptures. How about anybody sanctified anything this week? Oh, my, we got to get in the word of God. We've got to understand some things that God is saying. We sing, "I've been redeemed," but if we don't know what that means, it doesn't do us any good to sing it. "I've been redeemed." It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The redeemed of the Lord are very well that God has done something for them. He has undertaken on their behalf." And they begin to speak words of life. They say, "I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed." Just like that town crier shouting from the mountaintop. It says, some things that have been hidden are going to be shouted from the mountaintop. Paul, by unction of the Holy Ghost, began to open up the scripture and began to explain things that centuries of time had longed, it said angels had longed to understand. And understanding came. Oh, thank God, when we read, we can understand what it says. God's coming for a visit. He's going to be here 33 and a third years. Now, that's a very short visit because God said a day is as 1,000 years. So 33 and a third years is meaning God wasn't here very long. This is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Do you believe that? And it says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That means He came. That's what Zacharias is declaring. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming to visit, and He's going to accomplish a particular purpose. He's coming to redeem. He's coming to rescue, to set free. Now, we had an old dog in our neighborhood. His name was Blue. He didn't ever stay home. He roamed the neighborhood. He was a wonderful old dog, but he kept getting picked up by animal control. Now, when your dog is picked up by animal control, they're not going to return him for free. You've got to pay the price. You've got to go down there. And the only reason you'd go down there is because you love that old dog. So the family went. I think they went more than once. Couldn't keep him at home. Now, that was their dog. But they lost control. Sin caused man to lose control. We belong to Almighty God. He created us. But sin separated us from our God. Now you got to go down and redeem that dog. That means you got to go down and buy him back. That's what redeem means, to buy back. You go to the grocery store to buy. You go, what we do is about 11 o'clock at night, I say to Wayne, "Want some mint chocolate chip ice cream?" And he'd say, "Oh, yeah, dip me some." And I say, "We don't have any." Just setting him up. Well, we're big into ice cream. And he'll say, "Okay, well, just dip me butter pecan." That's his favorite. Mine's mint chocolate chip. I say, "We don't have any." I want him to go to the store and buy. I want him to go redeem. I want him to go purchase. And redemption is a purchase. It's a buyout. But it's to buy something that you once owned or possessed that belonged to you. It's to buy it back, like that old dog.
Amen.
Now, that ice cream didn't belong to me. It belonged to the grocery store. And they're not going to give it to you. Just bought some the other day. Mint chocolate chip, my favorite brand, $5.19. Woo! Worth every dime. Good stuff. Only because you love God would you even share it. Because the scripture says not to be selfish, so you're going to share your mint chocolate chip ice cream. Well, you go down, and this is three things are happening here. One, you go because you wouldn't go for ice cream at 11 o'clock unless you just really had to have some. You had a strong desire. Isn't that right? You're thinking, I wish I had some ice cream. I wish I had some ice cream. I wish I had. Do you want some ice cream? Do you want some ice cream? I'm telling you, you can really get this man with ice cream. 38 years, I'm no dummy. God is good to me. Ice cream's so very good to me. Zechariah's dream of a child has come true. And that child's going to open the door for the Messiah to come. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Zechariah is trying to say, he's coming! What wonderful news. And he's coming for a visit. Now, what I do is I usually leave my purse in the car. If I take it in, then I forget it. That's my norm. And I'm well aware of that, so I usually try to remember. Now, look, do you have your purse? Did you bring it in? The other thing we do is we have a security alarm at the house. We've been robbed twice, so we have a full security system. We have to shut the dog out if I'm not home. So we were out this morning. We had a meeting at 10:30. We were headed to that meeting, 10:10, and I said, Dwayne, did you put the dog out? He said, did you put the dog out? I said, I don't remember if I put the dog out or not. Well, you know, if you don't put the dog out, the police come. If the police come over twice in the same year, they send you a bill. So we got to circle back. Put the dog out. Now, the only reason I'd circle back is for my purse, because it's real important to me. That's my driver's license. Has my dollar and a half. That's my Parkway money. Takes a dollar and a half to get to my mother's. Why did God come? Why bother? Because you were worth so much. You're like me. You weren't worth anything. It says all our righteousness was as filthy rags. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. Why did he come? Same reason we went for ice cream. Same reason we went back to check the security system and the dog. The same reason I went back for my purse. Desire. For God so loved the world. Now listen to me. It doesn't say God loved the world. Read the scripture. Every single word. It doesn't say God loved the world. What does it say? He so loved the world. That's what Paul meant in Ephesians when he says that we might understand the height, the breadth, the length, and the depth of the love of God. God's love is great big. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God's going to visit because he loves you. Because he loves you. And because his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good and forever. 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 How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
How much mercy?
Forever.
Forever. His mercy endures. He's going to come because he has a strong desire. And that's the key to redemption, was God's desire. Now look quick at Isaiah chapter 43. We'll be back at Luke chapter 1 maybe. Let's look at this verse in Isaiah 43. Such an eye opener. Such a wonderful inspiration. Why did God redeem you? Why did he purchase you? Why did he buy you back? Why did he come? He so loved you. Now, I love a lot of people, but this is the man I so love down here.
My Lord.
This one with white hair. I remember we met when I was 16 and he liked to hunt. As soon as we got married, I gave up hunting. You can forget that. But I trucked around in the field, in the grass. I don't shoot a gun, don't know how to shoot a gun, not interested in shooting a duck, but I was in love. It became so love, became an obsession. And then the government came, took him away into the military, height of the Vietnam conflict. My heart, I could not be comforted. My friends tried, but I could not be. See, it was not love. It was not admiration. It was even more than desire. What was it?
So love.
Now, old people only know old music. That would be me. We used to sing for God. So loved the world, he gave his only son. Do you know that? Two people know that old song? No? To die on Calvary from sin to set me free. One day he's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful, his love, what kind of love? Why'd he come? Now look at this verse. Verse 25, chapter 43, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, will not remember thy sins. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, why?
For my own sake.
For my own sake. He didn't do it because you need him to. He didn't say, I blotted out your transgressions because you couldn't do it yourself. He didn't say, I blotted out your transgressions because you needed me to. Why did he do it? What caused him to blot out transgressions? What caused Jesus to die? What caused him to redeem? What caused him to buy, to purchase, to buy back?
Desire.
Desire. Love. So love.
So love.
He said he did it for his own sake. This is how that works. I have 2 children, 4 grandchildren. It is amazing to me the price of tennis shoes. I am just, and then I look at them and I want to say, you paid that for those. I mean, have 5 colors, 3 stripes, 2 dots. And they might as well not give you any strings. I mean, who uses those? Now, here's a child. He comes in. He, you know what? I happen to know this for a fact. They wanted the tennis shoes to cost $129. Tennis shoes, I'm talking. In the dirt, in the mud, on the bus, off the bus. Tennis shoes. I said, you were kidding me. Looked at those, looked like size 12s to me. I mean, we have, y'all have big feet in your family?
Yeah.
I have very small feet, but I'm one of the few. Now, why did they do that for that child? They could have said, son, we're going to have these $39 tennis shoes, or these $49 tennis shoes, or what about $69 tennis shoes? You know why they did that? They did it for their own sake. They didn't do it for the child. You tell the child, no, we can't do that. Now listen, let me give you a tip that's very important. Do not put poverty into your children. Do not tell them, I heard a lady made me so mad I wanted to grab her by the collar, but I was reserved. I didn't want to get in any trouble. She said, child asked for something, and she said, you know we can't do that. You know we can't do that. We can't ever do that. We don't ever have any money. We don't have any money today, and don't ask me for anything. Is that clear? I want to say, look here, lady. I didn't. You don't do that, do you? Oh, please tell me you don't do that. Oh, tell me you don't do that. Are you people of faith?
Yes.
I know your pastor is. I heard him preach.
Yes. Amen.
Here's what you say. Let's practice. We can't do that today.
We can't do that today.
We can't do that
today.
But Mother will agree with you. And when 2 agree on earth as touching anything, God our Father will do it for you. I remember when my son, I'm just taking a little rabbit trail here, he wanted a bicycle. He always wanted the biggest and the best and the finest. He wanted this bicycle. It was $600. I mean, this is years ago. Because you can see how old his mother is, so you know how old he is. You don't have to worry about how old his mother is, 57. I don't like to lose people wondering, how old is she? 57. That's how old I am. So this was long ago. $600 was a lot of money. And there's no way I could buy a $600 bicycle. I mean, we just would be kidding ourselves. But see, I wanted to. Not because the other bicycles weren't adequate. I didn't do it for his sake. I didn't do it for his sake. We didn't buy expensive tennis shoes for the child's sake. We did it because the heart said, oh, that's my baby. Right. Wants those tennis shoes, those ugly tennis shoes. So I told Joel, okay, I'll pay for half. I'll believe God for half. See, we can't do that. When? What are you going to say to your child? Today. We can't do that. Today. Don't let me catch you in Walmart hollering at your child. I'll get you. I didn't know this lady, so I can't get her. Well, I did know kind of who she was, but we can't bother her. Well, it was amazing. We live on 20 acres. We don't have any neighbors. Suddenly, people across the fence, you know, this is what we know of our neighbors. Hi, how are you? I don't even know. Some of them, we've got too close. We don't know their face. They're so far away. Wow. They called, wanted Joel to mow the lawn. You know how long it took him to get his 300? Snap of your finger, he had his 300, but I didn't have my 300. My daddy called him. Pat, you will not believe, I guess you would, what grandparents will do. I said, Daddy, if you're going to pay that much, let me mow. I'll come mow. Why did we do that? So love. So love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. So love. Now, they didn't give away those tennis shoes, and they didn't give away that bicycle, and then a few years later, he wanted a camera. When you could get a good camera for $49, he wanted the one that was $399.
Well.
He's been that way all his life, but you know what? It's working for him. He puts out his faith, tells God what he wants. You know, if God can bring a old lady and old man a child, he certainly can cough up a camera. Don't you sell God short.
Amen.
Because he's great big.
Praise God. Amen.
Now, redemption is what? To buy back. You go to the pawn shop, you decide you don't need Aunt Martha's ring, and you go pawn it, and they give you $100 for Aunt Martha's ring. And then a week later, you think, oh, I can't believe I did that. I should have kept Aunt Martha's ring. Now, you're going to go what? You're going to go buy it back. You're going to go redeem. You're going to go redeem. Redeem is to go purchase, to get something that used to be yours. Man was created by Almighty God, and because of God's love, He's willing to rescue, to deliver, and to set free. That's why Zacharias is hollering, all these years Messiah's coming to set the captive free. That's why he's saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Because he's coming to buy us back. He's coming to open the door of salvation. And all who will enter and go through that door can be saved, delivered, set free, healed, whole. Oh, thank God, thank God. You're an easy people to teach. What I'm going to say is you're an easy people to holler at. They're going to want some money for the tennis shoes. They're going to want money for your dog. You go back to the pawn shop for Aunt Martha's ring. They're going to want, and they're not going to want just $100 like they gave you. Oh. Price has already gone up.
Right.
And you have to buy that ring back. That's to redeem. To redeem. Now, your child is kidnapped. And they send you a note. $1 million. They want you to buy your own child. They want you to purchase and set free, with hard-earned money, your baby. And you know what? You're going to do it. Aren't you going to pay the price? I'm paying for mine. Got too much invested. I got a big investment here. I've been trying to teach this man to be appreciative. You know, you ask him, how do you like that? It's nice. I hate that. I said, no, really, how do you like it? It looks good. So you think it's fine, yeah? Is that what they do to you? That's what the church does to Almighty God. How do you like this rescue? They don't even come to his house and thank him. I'm real good at setting you up like it's like bowling pins. I set you up and then I'm going to knock you down. Is that all right? So I've been teaching Wayne. I said, you're supposed to say, oh, I love that. That's just the color I would have chosen. Well, he tries. Bless his heart. But when he does it, you know what? He doesn't mean it. He's just pacifying me. He just knows I like a response. You know, I've been places where they wouldn't respond. I mean, I got down in their face. They just wouldn't respond. Thank God you're a responsive people. We need to respond to God, respond to the gospel. Why? You've been redeemed. Yeah. You were set free. Yeah. Now we're going to be set free. There's going to have to be a price paid. It says we were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold. This wasn't a buyout. It wasn't a purchase. There wasn't enough money to rescue you or deliver you. You were set free because Jesus died. It says we were set free by the precious blood of the Lamb. A major sacrifice. A sacrifice of blood. Now look at Revelation. Let's read it a couple times. Set free. Set free. Set free.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
You know what free means? Ain't no bondage. Bondage comes from hell, comes from the devil, comes from the devil and all his ambassadors. He has the real troop. But scripture says no weapon formed against you will prosper. Why? Jesus' blood set you free. You're free. You've been what? You've been what?
Redeemed.
You've been what?
Redeemed.
Wow. Chapter 5, verse 9. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Did you sing that? Did you used to sing that? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost. I am. All my sins are washed away. What's the good news?
I've been redeemed.
What's the good news?
I've been redeemed.
Means you've been bought, you've been purchased. You are free. Jesus set you free. He wanted you. He desired you. He said, I'm doing this for my own sake. Amen. Because he couldn't stand. He couldn't tolerate the separation that sin had brought. And he said, if they'll come to me, if they'll just come to me, I can blot out their sin and set them free. And we can be united again. And if they'll abide in the vine, then I can flow through them with great and abundant life. Yes. That's what he wants for you.
Yes.
Life, life, life.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I like the words in Hebrews. It says eternal redemption. How long is this plan? This buyout, this purchase. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. We don't have to say, oh, we used to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come on. Come on now.
You know religion's got a lot of used to's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But redemption is eternal. It's what?
Eternal.
It's what?
Eternal.
It's forever and ever and ever. You've been what?
Redeemed.
You've been purchased.
Yes.
Now, when I see you on the street, you should look like God's redeemed. When you walk through the dark, hold your head up high.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid of the night.
Yes.
Why? Jesus set you free.
Yes.
Jesus set you free. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It only works if you believe it. Now look at this wonderful verse. Verse 9, they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation has made us. Has what?
Made
has what?
Made
has what?
Made
oh,
us.
You need to throw your head high and your shoulders back. So I've been made by God. Made by God. I don't know if you know it. I'll just tell you, this is God and Company. It's not a slipshod, half-hearted outfit. It's the biggest company in the world.
Praise God.
No other name but the name of Jesus. No company name, no brand. No other name, no other name, no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. You've been what?
Redeemed.
You've been bought. You've been purchased. The price has been paid. Now, there's a theory. You know what a theory is? It's a supposition based upon absolutely no facts.
Yeah.
There's a theory that if God wants to do it, He will. It's only a theory. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. God wants to save you. But He isn't going to make you into the kingdom. You can go to hell if you want to.
That's right.
Amen.
And all that time, God's going to follow you to the edge of the cliff. And sing, come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, He's calling. He's calling. You've been redeemed. He said He made you. He made you somebody.
Right.
Yes, and somebody said, I said, what do you do? And they say, I'm just a housewife. That's exactly what I say, just. No, you're somebody, lady. You're somebody. Says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3. Redeemed from what?
Curse of the law.
From what?
Curse of the law.
Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
I'm having a wonderful time. I'm so glad you came. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Now this is what we say, please. What are you going to do? Oh, I don't know what we're ever going to do. That sound like the redeemed to you?
No.
How are you feeling? I feel awful. My knee hurts. Got a headache. How's your job coming? Oh, I think they're going to let a bunch of us loose. I'll be the first one. How's your kids doing? Oh, you know that boy of mine? End up in jail. I know he will. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Let the redeemed
of the Lord say so.
I'm redeemed.
Say what God is saying.
All right.
I went to an art gallery, went to see the work of a gentleman I particularly like. He does landscapes. How many know what color landscapes are? They're blue, brown, and green, right? Landscapes. You know what a landscape is? Trees, flowers, skies, water, blue, brown, and green. His new landscape was pink and red. That's true. And I was looking at it. I never had met the man, but I'd seen his picture. And he came in the door, and he saw me standing. They had it on an easel. It was his latest, his newest one. And he said, how you like the artwork? I said, I love your work, sir. I love it. Great artist. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, why did you paint this pink and red? And you could see everything else was landscapes, and all the other landscapes were green, brown, and blue. What color are landscapes?
Green, brown, and blue.
And that we'll forget his reply. He said, ma'am, that's the way I saw it. Now, if I'm going to see myself as God sees me,
come on.
I get in the Word,
come on.
And I begin to say, I've been redeemed.
All right.
Yes. I've been redeemed. Yeah. I've been redeemed. I've been purchased. I've been bought. I've been set free.
Yes.
Now, here's what happens when you receive the work of the blood. It's in Colossians 1:13. I love this verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord grumble and complain. Let the redeemed of the Lord give up. You know the scripture doesn't say having done all to sit. Give me a break. What does it say?
Stand.
Having done all to
stand.
God finds you standing. And not with your head bowed over and it's, oh. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. No, you're singing, and his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches. We had a cat. If you said, bird sat still in my yard, you were gone, because my cat was quick on her feet and she'd kill you, and then she put you at the back door and she wants me to come in and say, oh, wow, you got him. That's great. That is what she wanted. She thought she's doing the world a favor, you know.
Praise God.
But she wasn't. Well, see, God said he knew when every sparrow fall, he knows. He knows. And when she killed that bird, Almighty God said, Cumby's cat has killed another sparrow. He knew. And I know he's watching over the redeemed. He's watching over the redeemed. And he does just like you do. Your child comes in, you can tell they're not up to par. Wayne comes in. Our daughter did the cooking when she was home. And I did the cleaning. I'm not telling you that was a great deal or not. Because she's not cleaning, used every pot in the house. You know what I'm telling you? But she's a great cook, and she'd cook. Wayne's a moderate coffee drinker sometimes. He likes coffee sometimes. He doesn't need coffee. I drink coffee all the time. You don't even have to ask me. Just put the pot on. I like it. But you never can tell about him. But I can tell. I don't even have to ask him. I can look in his eyes. I can tell if he needs coffee and he's on the other side of the wall. Suzanne came one day, she's fixing supper. She says, Mom, how do you tell if Dad needs coffee? She says, I went and looked in his eyes. I got as close as I could. I couldn't tell. How are you doing that? I was in the other room, hadn't even seen his face, and I said, fixing some coffee. 5 minutes later, he hollers, Suzanne, you got the coffee on? She said, Mom, how are you doing that? You know, and I don't know, I think it's the way he slams the back door. But I know. And God knows. He knows you. He knows you.
Yes, Lord.
And he's not forgotten you, lady. You listen to me. You're not left out. But you got the redeemed have got to what?
Say so.
God said, I've been bought, been purchased. And no weapon formed against me prospers. He sent his word and healed me. By his stripes I was healed. My God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Yeah. Said, I can't memorize scripture like you do. I got a tip for you. I didn't memorize it. I read it.
That's right.
Amen. And I read it. And I read it. And when I step into the Spirit, it's down here.
Amen.
And it just comes up. I was amazed. One year I stuck on Romans chapter 8. See, there's someone on the inside. You've been redeemed. He lives inside. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. And if you come with your head down, he'll say just exactly what you would say. What you need, baby. Oh, Father.
Yes.
We adore you. God, you're so good to us.
Yes. Oh,
You're so very good to us. Everybody can see. You are more. You're so much more than I could possibly dream. God, you're good to me. You're so very good to me. This is what happened, Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Now here's the final thing in redemption. First there's desire, there's so love. Then there's the payment of the price. Redemption wasn't free, and it certainly wasn't cheap. Once the price is paid, and you believe that, you're transferred out of the darkness into the light.
Yes.
Once you go through that cashier and they say, chocolate mint ice cream, $5.19. I just happen to know that because I just bought some. Once you pay the price, it doesn't belong to them anymore.
Uh-uh.
It's yours. Now I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus belongs to me. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Delivered us from the power of darkness. Translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. You can say, oh, I'm in the kingdom. That's why we can join Zacharias. That's what we're going to do. And say, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. You know, if you're going to shout, you need to have something good to say. Sometimes we shout because we're pouting. We shout because we're mad. We shout because we're anything but glad. We shout to get attention. And we shout in disgust. But now's the time to shout. Because you trust.